Chapter 10. At the sight of their destination, Miller stopped dead. But something bumped him hard between the shoulders, and he turned. The pirate stood behind him, looking at him with mean satisfaction. He spoke softly to Miller, just a sentence. Something to do with coming together or meeting. And then the name again. Ku, the great god who gets the sacrifices.
I don't know what Yuki sees in you,
Miller said, smiling.
You're a stupid, mean-spirited bag of ugly. Yuki is too good for you.
Pirate's face darkened at the mention of Yuki, and Miller turned back around and kept walking. It was a small point on an easy target, but he had scored it gladly, and he felt a little better. If he had to die, he would die fighting, and he would not give Pirate any enjoyment of it if he could help it. Still, he didn't particularly want to die. He was just getting the hang of living. He yearned for another shot at his life back in Berkeley, his suburban house, 10-year-old BMW, and a full class load of graduate students aching for answers to preposterous questions. If he could just start all over again, he'd get married. He'd never be stuck here, about to be sacrificed to Ku. If only he had a wife and kids to keep him home. Kids. What a great thought. Could a colicky baby be worse than being thrown into a volcano? Miller didn't have much time to think about the volcano. A tugging came at his arm. He turned to see Cook anxiously trying to get his attention.
Imperative revelations, Cook said.
We're about to be thrown into a volcano, Cook,
Miller said.
Is it more important than that?
Entirely. Destruction of space-time paradigm,
Cook said impatiently.
Come online, Miller.
He pointed to the volcano's cone.
Absence of smoke. Absence of eruption sign over several hundred years. Old growth forest,
he said with a shudder as they passed a huge old tree. Miller looked. It was true. When they had flown over the cone, there had been no updraft, no glow from inside, no recently formed lava spills around the rim, no sign of any volcanic activity. Just the sudden failure of the engine, which certainly didn't have to be connected to the volcano.
All right,
Miller agreed.
The volcano is probably extinct. But we know these people have been on this island for almost 1,000 years. They may throw us in anyway, out of respect for an ancient ritual. We'll be just as dead, Cook.
Cook nodded.
Possible, but irrelevant.
Not to me,
Miller said.
To me, my death is extremely relevant. Maybe ultimately relevant.
End result of struggle for artifact, more universal relevance. No remaining future, past, present. But with action, improvement of life for all, ours to decide. You, me, action, therefore imperative, here now, real time.
I guess you're right, Jay,
Miller said, and turned his attention back to the volcano. It was a little sad that Cook was going to his death, still unhinged, but if it helped the man deal with his fate, he was not going to straighten him out. Cook grabbed his arm again.
Attention required. High probability exists of exposure to artifact here now.
I'm sorry, Jay, but we're facing an unpleasant death here, and I'm finding it difficult to stay focused on your artifact.
Cook slapped him. It was not a terribly hard slap, but it got Miller's attention.
You must not die, Cook said.
I don't see how to avoid it,
Miller said wearily.
Do you?
Unclear,
Cook said.
Engage cortical synapse in primitive action sequence leading to solution. Basis of Miller selection for mission.
Miller closed his eyes. Well, if you had to go, why not go making light conversation about the end of the world with a maniac?
What does that mean? Miller was selected? Who selected me? And why?
We did,
Cook said.
High probability of Miller success.
Success at what?
Cook looked to the guards. They were chatting, enjoying themselves. He turned back to Miller.
Mission background,
Cook said.
Speed required.
Go ahead,
Miller said.
Future composed of two groups, Bodies and GECOs, Treehuggers and Progress. Valid input?
Okay, I get it,
Miller said.
We have the same thing. Environmentalists fighting lumber companies, construction companies, chemical companies.
Future struggle evolved into full-scale war. Struggle for total domination. by manipulation of time-space. Control deadlocked system in balance. No winner. Time-space manipulation allows response before attacks.
Uh-huh. Very clever. So if these tree huggers make a move, the progressives manipulate time and stop it ahead of time.
Balance!
Cook agreed.
Until discovery of artifact, balance in ultimate peril!
They were much closer now to the volcano. Miller could see that the path wound around to the side. Did it go all the way to the top?
Why ultimate peril, Jay?
Study of artifact reveals basic truth!
That's good,
Miller said.
Truth is good.
Cook ignored him.
Time-space is fiction! Linear order of events, fragile, unnecessary, a fiction created and maintained by artifact.
Miller shook his head.
Then who created the artifact? And when?
Unclear. Irrelevant. Possession of artifact, actual point, tone E. Possession equals control.
Control of time, space.
And control of ability to destroy logical sequence and linear connection of universal all-time here now. Control artifact. Control time, space. Destroy artifact.
Cook shuddered.
Result unclear. Probable destruction of time, space.
That's an interesting theory, Dr. Cook.
He turned away again. They were about halfway up the side of the cone now, and the path seemed to be leveling off as it wound around to the far side of the volcano.
Tone E. Miller,
Cook said, and there was real urgency in his voice for the first time.
Belief now imperative. Crisis point approaching.
Miller was not really listening. He had noticed that his body felt heavier. Interesting. Was it a cellular level response to the threat of death? Reluctance of life to allow itself to be destroyed?
Do you feel heavier all of a sudden?
Necessary result of exposure to artifact,
Cook said.
Physical laws affected. Gravity bends.
I thought you said time and space. Is it gravity too?
Difference unclear,
Cook said.
Possibly fictional. Artifact unifies or supersedes conventional physical laws.
So the artifact makes us heavier, does it? It would be a very unpopular artifact back home.
Miller,
Cook said.
I am not Dr. J. Cook.
Of course you're not, Jay, and neither am I. But you're one of those future people, aren't you, Jay?
Cook studied him.
Belief imperative for action. Tony Miller, J. Cook no longer controls this body.
Well, you have to admit that's a tough one to believe.
Concrete proof unavailable. Describe behavior of so-called Cook here now.
Miller smiled. There was no need to be diplomatic now, not with death approaching.
You're acting nuts,
he said. Cook nodded.
Insufficient preparation download time. Warning received of impending Bodhi action. Regret. Cook persona imitation inadequate.
I wouldn't say inadequate. Just
insane?
Miller patted Cook on the arm.
You hit your head, Jay. It's perfectly natural. Be as crazy as you want. I don't care, really.
Cook was silent for a moment. Then,
what is required to convince you
that you're from a future culture sent back to take over Jay Cook's body and save the universe by grabbing a mystical artifact?
Miller laughed.
Ha ha! It boggles the imagination, Jay.
Cook nodded, appeared to think hard.
Proposal,
he said.
Pretend to believe.
Miller blinked, surprised.
Why?
If artifact is product of insanity, you are about to die. If story is truth, you have chance to survive.
Miller shook his head. It was starting to sound right, and that worried him.
If you're from the future, why can't you tell for sure what happens here?
Cook looked pained.
Probabilities only. Multiple futures.
Well, what probabilities are we looking at?
Cook looked away.
Miller has one chance in 7 of survival.
Ouch,
Miller said. Cook looked back and grabbed Miller's arm urgently.
highest tested odds based on simulations using 14 million test subjects. 14 million!
Cook said.
Run through identical simulation. Cook scores highest of all. 1 in 7.
Miller laughed.
Huh. It's nice to know a future society thinks so highly of me. What about you, Jay?
Cook does not survive,
he said.
Twice only in 14 million simulations.
You seem pretty calm about that.
Artifact's all important,
Cook said.
My mission parameters were find artifact only. Miller must rescue artifact, escape.
How do I do that?
Cook shrugged.
Answer variable. Important only that you do it. Preserve artifact.
The islanders around them were falling silent, their laughter and cheerful joking trickling to a stop. Miller looked ahead. 50 yards in front of him, the path ran straight into the rock through a chest-high opening leading inside the volcano. And into his death?
These other people. The Beppos?
Bodies,
Cook said impatiently.
The Bodies. Why haven't they tried to stop us?
Miller looked at him pityingly. I assume that's supposed to say Cook. But I guess he's... whatever.
They have... is here now. Island culture typical of region.
No, but...
native culture pastime bent by Bodies to cause failure of attempts to rescue artifact. Miller, ultimate time cusp here now. Commitment to action required.
The line jostled to a halt. The chief and her cronies began a soft chant at the low doorway. Something thudded into Miller's back. He glanced behind him to see Pirate sneering at him and whispering something that didn't need a translation. He thumped Miller again with the butt of his spear. Miller blocked the spear with a hand and turned his back to Pirate. The guy was getting on his nerves. Even if Cook was as crazy as he sounded, it would be fun to try and screw up Pirate's sadistic pleasure. And on the remote chance that Cook, or whoever, whatever he was telling the truth.
What do I have to do?
Miller asked.
Rescue artifact,
Cook said.
Escape.
Escape with the artifact. Why?
If artifact captured, Bodies will attempt to destroy.
The chief raised her voice, making a powerful command, or a very pushy request, of Ku.
This thing is obviously important to the islanders. Wouldn't it be easier to destroy it instead of trying to take it away?
Cook shuddered and looked panicked. God, this is the same thing over and over and over again.
Destruction of artifact is Bode triumph. Time, space, shattered. Bode, simultaneous, all time, here now imposed. New reality, Miller. Or no reality. Either way, disastrous.
So, if the thing breaks, that's the end of everything?
Not end,
Cook said grimly.
Highest probability indicates transfiguration to random. 72 hours for possible correction. Then entire line of time-space broken. Reassembled in random, no order fashion.
Broken? Just like that?
Just.
Cook agreed. And continued.
Simulation indicates very small chance of successful intervention at Bodhi home space before 72 hours.
Bodhi home space? Their headquarters. Where is it?
Cook gave him a bleak smile.
Here now, designate 38-1-23.
What does that mean, 38?
Miller started to object, but Cook just spoke louder and faster.
Coordinates do not fail, Miller. Absolute current probability nexus favorable. Home space invasion, low probability operation.
But if I get there in 72 hours, I could fix it anyway.
Extremely low probability,
Cook repeated.
Here now, optimum action point.
And where is it?
But they were interrupted as the chief's voice peaked and was joined by the elders and then rest of the crowd. That's what it says. All right. They were answered by a loud rumble of thunder. Miller glanced up. A low finger of dark cloud approached the cone of the volcano. As he watched, a tongue of lightning licked out. The chief shouted one more sentence to Ku with her arms raised and then bent down to enter the volcano. The elders followed her, one by one, and the villagers began to move slowly toward the doorway. Pirate pushed roughly at Miller to move him forward.
"Crisis immediate,"
Cook said.
"Will you do it?"
End of chapter.